Welcome to Coffee and Cybersecurity with Cyberpilot. I'm your host, Anders, and today I'm joined by Benjamin. You are the product owner of our phishing training here in Cyberpilot. So you do know a thing or two about phishing.
That's correct.
That's correct.
Thank you.
That's good.
Yeah.
I invited you here because we've heard from a lot of customers and actually just people around our network that they are not totally sure about why is it actually that phishing is dangerous. And I hope that you can answer some of those questions, because I might not be able to, but I think you have the foundation to do so. And the thing that we hear is that, well, phishing might not be dangerous because our spam filters catch most of them anyway. And if our employees click a link, then they got two-factor authentication anyway. So what does it matter? They can't log in, even though they have our password. So that's two of the main things that we hear. And the third thing is that some people just think that their colleagues will not click anything because they can spot them miles away. It's the classic Nigerian prince or GLS package, and nobody is falling for that. So that's some of the myths that we are hearing. And are they true, first of all?
Well, first of all, thank you for inviting me to the podcast today. This is great. And well, part of it is true. So let's just start with the spam filters. Do they work? They absolutely work, but they do not work 100%. Spam filters catch 99%, something like that. That's the good news of all the phishing attempts and spam out there. And so the technology is definitely with us in some fashion, but some of it does get through. So you mentioned another thing as well, which was, and I'll get into depth with some of these answers also in a minute. But you also mentioned two-factor.
Yeah.
Does it work? Absolutely. It's a great thing to have. You should always have two-factor if it's critical information that you are working with, or systems. You should always use it. And as I will also discuss later, it's great, but it's not bulletproof as well. And can your colleagues spot phishing mails miles away? Absolutely, they could in the past.
Yeah.
But as we will also discuss, our cyber criminals have become much more sophisticated.
Yes.
Yeah.
So basically, yes, spam filters does work and two-factor does work, but we can't spot the phishing mails anymore. We can spot some of them, but not all of them. And yes, even though the two other ones work and probably take like 99% of all attempted hacks, then there's still the last percentage. And that is still really dangerous. And I think I actually saw some statistics on it from Verizon that says that 36% of all data breaches involves phishing in some way.
Yeah.
So even though these technical solutions fix a lot of it, it cannot save us from everything. Of course, they might not have two-factor, some of the people who have been involved in those data breaches, but who knows?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And we can also delve into this a little bit. So yeah, we know that 36% of data breaches involve some form of phishing to gain some access, maybe initially or maybe mm-hmm. later in the attack. And what we are seeing is that let's just take the phishing mail. The phishing mail, the attacker wants you to either give away the keys to some systems or to your email where they themselves can get access to systems, or they want you to download some malicious software that can do things. So either observe or spy or encrypt and do other things or give access to them in other ways. But we're also seeing the emails they send for you to do something like this, give away your credentials or download something, are becoming much better than they were in the past. So in the past, you could probably spot them by bad language, maybe a big reward if you did this quickly, and things like that, and maybe funky email addresses or links that were just too obvious.
Yeah.
But we're not seeing so much of that anymore. So now we're also seeing that even though our criminals out there are not native to your language, they also have the tools available, like ChatGPT or whatever, to craft a perfectly a good email that sounds convincing, spelling mistakes, any of those things. And the even more scary part of it now is the fact that they're also using pretexting.
And what is that?
Yeah.
Just to clarify.
Yeah, to clarify. Yeah, well, so pretexting is a seemingly innocent way to connect with you and gain trust, where there are no links or anything like that in the email. A pretext is something that comes before the attack, and it can be via multiple media. It could be via a phone, or it could be via SMS, or it could be via social media. It could also be an email, to soften you up and let your guard down. So, for example, it could be, "Hey man, I noticed that your company was at a conference and did an interesting talk about something like that. Very cool. I'd like to connect with you."
Yeah, so that's really trustworthy, because then they kind of know you. They know you were to that conference.
Yeah. And so you would think, they know something about me. They know something about my company. They're interested. This seems very legit. So let's continue the conversation. So that's what pretexting is. And we're seeing this in around half of all social engineering attacks involve some kind of pretexting.
That's a high number.
That's a high number, yeah.
So that's 50% of all the social engineering attacks, which includes all the phishing attacks that have a pretexting before.
Yeah.
And I think that was definitely surprising for me to see.
Yeah.
Because I still think of phishing as something that I receive a mail and I have to spot that mail to not fall for the attempt.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah. Yeah. So the level of sophistication, it has just risen tremendously.
Yeah.
I just wanted to circle back on this two-factor. There's often a question from our customers. Well, we use two-factor here at us, so even though someone gives away their login credentials or something like that, it doesn't matter because we use two-factor and
they can't get it.
They can't get in. Yeah.
Yeah.
And again, as I also mentioned, it's a really good safeguard to have. But what we often see is that, yes, you and I may have two-factor, but did we remember to do it on all critical systems? Hopefully.
And how do we keep track of it?
And how do you keep track of it?
Yeah.
And are you sure that everyone else also uses two-factor on all critical systems?
Yes.
So suddenly it becomes, there might be some hole somewhere.
Yeah.
So we're often seeing that companies and organizations may not have full two-factor implemented anyhow, which is the one thing. And the other thing is criminals have also found ways around two-factor nowadays by bombarding with requests and all sorts of things.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, sometimes it's not about getting a password. Sometimes it's about just installing malicious software or something like that.
Correct.
And then it's not even a part of the defense anyway.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And that can be really very dangerous as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So phishing is dangerous. So there's still 33% of all data breaches involve phishing. And now 50% of them has pretexting, which means it's way more complex to spot, way more sophisticated. So I guess that leads to the question, like, what can you then do as a company? How can you do something that will help you, reducing this risk of getting hit?
Yeah, and just before I answer that question, I just want to delve into why is this so dangerous? Malware, there are so many types that we can't get into them all here, but spyware, encryption software, and stuff like that are just some of them. But when the criminals get access to your email and you give away your credentials, and let's say for some reason there's not two-factor, or they get around the two-factor.
Yeah, yeah.
What do they have access to now? Well, you probably know that when you want to get onto some system and you forgot the password, you reset the password.
Yeah.
And you get a link to your email and it says, reset password. But if the criminal suddenly has access to your email, they have access to those systems now.
So they can reset all passwords.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And also now they, of course, can communicate as you. And I know if I got an email from you, it's blue.
That would be the perfect next phishing mail.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I say, hey man, I'm doing something relevant on one of the systems that you have access to. Please give me access. The other way around. And we share access. And now suddenly the criminal has access to many more systems.
Yeah.
So it's really dangerous. So what can you do?
Yeah, so what can you do to avoid all that?
I get carried away.
But that's why you're here.
You're right. The first thing I would say is creating awareness around this issue. We know that it's an increasing problem, so it's not something that's going away right now. So we really need to create some awareness around it with our colleagues, both what are the dangers, so they really understand that this is something we need to take seriously. But of course, also what are the signs, which are becoming increasingly difficult, as we just talked about.
Yeah.
But creating awareness around it is definitely number one.
Yeah. Yeah, and maybe that also, when the signs become harder and more difficult to spot, the awareness also maybe has to evolve. So it's not just about what is a phishing mail, but also what can you do when you're in doubt? Like get a double confirmation from another source or something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
So just to build the awareness in a way that fits the dangers that we have now with phishing.
Yeah.
That might be different 5 years ago than today.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, and I think you hit on a very important point, like confirming. I don't know. I think I heard something. I trust, but confirm today. So of course you want to be able to trust your colleagues, but if something is in any way just a hairpin out, just confirm it.
Yeah. go down to the desk and ask them or call them.
And then what we are seeing more and more is with the level of sophistication in the language, in the emails, you will probably not be spotting that it's a phishing mail in the email, but later on, you might want to look into the technical aspects of the email as well. Who sent this? What is the IP? Can you confirm that this is an IP that you should receive communication from and stuff like that?
Yeah.
So we're gradually building up the skills with our employees in that way. Yeah.
Yeah. But that will take some time, I guess.
Absolutely.
To get to that point.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So awareness is one of them. What could be other things you could do?
Well, so I would say creating interest around this whole social engineering, which phishing falls under. So social engineering is making people do stuff they wouldn't otherwise do.
Yeah.
And in this sense, doing something bad. But there are so many techniques in social engineering that are really quite interesting from a professional standpoint.
Yeah.
And creating an interest about like all these techniques that are being used, just like a good bottle of wine that in the beginning, when you first come into the wine world, you know, yes, this is a red wine, this is a white wine, but at some point you may start noticing different notes or something that can tell you something about this wine. And I find that people who are interested in social engineering, just like wine connoisseurs are to wine, they become much more adept and at spotting phishing attempts much further away. So they may even be able to spot these pretext phishing attempts.
But is that possible to do for, let's say, I'm an IT manager, to make all employees in my company interested in social engineering?
Yes. It's not it's not easy, but I think it is possible because it's interesting, this area.
Yeah, there's some drama to it.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. There's drama, and I know that you also have heard many of the stories about some of the big hacks that involve phishing.
Yeah.
These are interesting stories, and these can captivate your audience.
I think social engineering even made it to Hollywood, like Catch Me If You Can with Leonardo DiCaprio. That's the social engineering story.
Yeah.
And Talented Mr. Ripley is also kind of a social engineering story.
Right.
So I guess it.
Yeah.
If it could go to that level, then it can definitely be possible to learn some of those tricks from interest as well.
Yeah. 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 No. Yeah. Very good point with Catch Me If You Can. Yeah. Yeah. So having being interested in this, just like
Catch Me If You Can. Yeah.
That's a really good first step. Yeah.
Yeah. I've also added a note to something you could do, but that might be difficult for big organizations if it's ingrained in the culture. But I think in CyberPilot, we at least don't really send any links through emails internally.
That's right.
Because if you don't send any links internally, then you also get used to not clicking on anything in your email. Whereas if you every day are clicking on links because you are communicating through email in your company, then you're also more likely to do the quick click when something else comes.
Yeah.
So I think that's definitely something we have implemented that works, that all links go through other channels. It could be Asana or Teams or Slack or whatever you use, but other communication channels.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I think you also mentioned the other day that it's like building up a habit.
Yeah.
And not that we just don't have links We never expect links in an email. And if we do, then we write in the internal channels that you are receiving an email in 2 minutes that has a link. That's okay.
Yeah, exactly.
And then, of course, there's also a point about like staying on your toes, and that employees know how to spot a phishing mail by also feeling it on their own person. So we would say it's a way to become more aware if you get a phishing attempt on your own person. And that's where simulations come into play, where when you get an email directly in your inbox, that's a seemingly a phishing email, what do you do? And this can raise awareness a lot.
Yes. So simply sending phishing simulations to your colleagues.
Yeah. Exactly. And also making them as difficult as those in the real world.
Yeah.
Because that's what we meet.
Yes.
So we do see some people out there send very easy to spot phishing simulation emails, like the Nigerian prince or something like that. But that doesn't really reflect the dangers nowadays, and doesn't really make the employees realize how difficult it is and how sharp they need to be. So
no, because then that's what they're looking for, that kind of emails.
Yeah, good point. Yeah. So definitely that.
To make them hard.
Yeah.
The next point we've written down is to then create good reporting processes as well.
That's right.
So when they get these phishing emails,
mm-hmm.
what do they do?
Yeah. So here, it's really an attack. So imagine if someone stood outside your door with a crowbar and tried to pry it open.
Yeah.
Then you would say, well, call 911, right? And defend yourself.
Yeah.
Tell your colleagues that someone's trying to break in. It's maybe not necessary to call 911 because there's not a physical threat right there, but there is a threat. So think of it as an attack where you need to warn your colleagues in the same way as the guy with the crowbar out there. So stand up, let your colleagues know that someone's at the door.
Yeah.
Let your IT department know as soon as possible. Chances are that someone may have clicked, actually. Maybe you are the first one to notice this. That's great. Maybe not, but stand up, yell it out. And yell it out on your channels,
top of your lungs.
And always let IT know.
So I guess that's also a task for the IT department to educate and create these processes, because when you then run the phishing simulations, it's not just about not clicking the link, it's also about reporting it to IT and to the rest of the company that here's a phishing link, beware.
Yeah.
And don't click it.
Yeah, and then of course for IT, it's about removing the danger from employees' inboxes.
Exactly.
Yeah. And So that's of course some of the things that that you should do throughout the year. Create this awareness and use simulations as a starting point.
Yeah.
Because it works when it comes in close to people.
Yes.
And also use the fact that there are fantastic stories out there to tell the stories and create interest around social engineering.
Yeah.
so that your employees find it interesting and not just a threat
exactly.
or a to-do. And of course, as we mentioned, don't send links via emails if possible, and let people know when a link is coming via email. And make sure that you have a very clear reporting process when an attack happens. And we did mention this in the beginning, that the technical things that you can set up are not bulletproof, like 2FA or two-factor authentication. Or
you should still have it.
Definitely still have it. Definitely. And maybe also remind people to double check that they also have this enabled.
Yes. So yeah. You don't have that today. That's the first thing.
That's the first thing. Yes. Exactly. Yeah.
So I think that's the summary as well.
That was the summary.
I think we are running out of time.
Yeah.
So that's the perfect way to end it. That you just went through all the tips that people can do again.
Absolutely.
So thank you for coming, Benjamin.
Thank you.
And hopefully you enjoyed it out there. Click subscribe if you don't want to miss another episode. And see you out there.